Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here at Gamertag Radio, and I have Paris here. He's visiting LA, man. What's up, Paris?
What's going on?
You're on
man?
Tour. You're on tour. First was Seattle, and now you're in LA, man. Where are you going next?
Back home to Temecula, where I belong.
There you go. And also, I have the one and only Rihanna. What's up?
What's up? I'm back again. Got lots of thoughts on this game we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Deathloop. Thanks to Bethesda for sending us a code. Is this the preview?
It's preview.
Preview.
Yes.
Just want to say that real quick. So, guys, so we're going to talk about it, and please send us your thoughts and questions, everything, fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, let's do it, man. So we got to play the game. 5 hours.
Yes.
Preview. I know we have other friends, too, that have the game. So we got to see this back in during the summer. They showed us just like the presentation. They talked about the characters. And one thing that stood out to me, I love the 70s vibe, the level design, the gameplay, everything. I'm not a big fan of one of the characters, Juliana. Not a fan of her voice. Not a fan. I love Colt. I love his voice, his character overall. Very, really funny. But I'm not really vibing with Juliana at all. What about you?
I disagree.
You disagree? Okay.
I think I know why you're not vibing with the voice.
Oh, this is interesting. Because I actually don't vibe with her voice either.
But it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
And again, let's keep it real. We're talking two African-American characters here, Colt and Juliana. And Juliana clearly seems to not be voiced by an African-American actress, in my opinion.
But
that doesn't bother me. And it's funny you bring that up, because this actually came up when they were originally showing this to us.
Mm-hmm.
Her voice doesn't fit the era of what we're going through right now with the game Deathloop. And I would guess that's what's throwing you off the most.
I didn't know that.
But I think there's a reason, which we won't know until we get the final game.
Also, you think there's a reason for... Okay, yeah, okay. Now, Ree, do you agree with what Paris was saying about Juliana? Like, do you... I know we both agree. We're not vibing with her voice, but what do you think?
So I will say, I have less problem with the voice and more of a problem how it's presented. So in general, I really do like the integration in the new DualShock controller. However, whenever her voice comes out of the controller, it is so distracting to me that I can't focus on anything that's happening in the game. And it's actually hindering my gameplay experience. And I know the innovation that Sony and a lot of developers have been able to ideate on with the new DualShock is really, really exciting and a lot of time enhanced gameplay. For me, it's a detractor. And I think that's mainly the reason why I'm not really vibing with the voice. It's more the implementation. So I did look up the voice actress. It looks like her name is Ozioma Akaga, and she looks African-American.
Yeah, well, there you go. I was wrong about
she
that.
She does. And I think she did a wonderful job with what was given to her. I think it's obviously really difficult to stand next to Dave Fennoy, who is voicing Colt, who is just, you know.
He's killing it.
Like, S tier, right? Like, there's no one better. So I love his treatment with Colt. I really enjoy the writing of the game, both from Juliana and Colt and some of the NPCs. But, yeah, he definitely shines the brightest for me so far.
And sticking on that for a second, you know, voice aside, but like you said, the actual dialogue, their banter back and forth, Colt and Juliana, I think it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say this, I know you mentioned about the controller. You could change that. You could put her voice on the TV if you want. That's like an option thing. But the thing is, we just turned it on and we started playing it, and it was like automatically that way, her coming out from there. But there's a reason why she's coming out there, because it's coming out from
it's
a walkie-talkie, yes, that he has. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why it sounds so like that.
Simulating that.
So I do appreciate, out of all the third-party companies that have been working on games for the PS5, I feel like Bethesda is the only one that I know that really took advantage of the DualSense controller. Because other ones has been kind of like a meh experience, but I love the walking, running, the shooting, Juliana coming out from the voice coming out from the controller, like everything. I feel like that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. Now, and here's the thing I want to ask you both. And Ree, you were the one that actually mentioned this to me. I gotta give her credit. Do you like this roguelike style in the game? I personally love it, because every time I die or I finish a mission or a level and you go back, it could be during the day, nighttime, evening, etc. Now I know where to go, but the missions change, like certain things changes, and you're gonna discover more things of where to go, how to keep your weapons once you die or when you come back. And I don't want to talk about a lot of spoilers, but I like that part a lot in the game. What about you? You think
I think that's part of the gameplay loop, is learning that mystery and understanding how, what to keep and what not to keep, you know, coming in at certain different times of the day, things like that, overhearing certain conversations. So you might know where this key or this code is, so the next time you come in, you know, you can access the level a different way. That's part of the beauty of this is under, because this is just a big giant puzzle. That's what Deathloop is. It's a giant puzzle that you're trying to understand and solve so that you can quote unquote break the loop. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely agree. I really like the implementation of the roguelike elements here. And you really only spend maybe like 20 minutes max in each run. So it's pretty forgiving with your time. And as Paris said, you go through different times of day. You find out different sets of information. You have access to different characters depending on what section you are, what time of day. So it is valuable to go through each level even multiple times with the same kit and just discover more. And I feel like that really lends itself well to the replayability and roguelike elements for sure.
And it gets, where I'm at, it gets really challenging. Really, really challenging. And I think the first few levels is a little bit quicker. Yeah. But once you get later in the game, it's going to get more complicated. There might be also like some side quests if you would like to do that. It gets challenging. I love the challenge in the game overall. So that's really, really cool.
And you touched on it a little bit already, but the gunplay felt good. I like the varying abilities that you'll get. I mean, mm-hmm. if you play Dishonored, I mean, this is from the same studio. It definitely mm-hmm. feels like a spiritual successor to Dishonored in that way. So people, you know, that are fans of that, they'll feel right at home being able to jump into this. I mean, it's good. And like you said, it does feel very forgiving of your time. I wasn't feeling frustration going through this. It was like, oh, okay. All right, now next time I'll try this or I'll do that. Again, you're unraveling this. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't the final game. We're still the preview. So we will see once we, because I haven't quote unquote broken the loop yet. But once you get to the point where you're able to actually clear it, I think there's going to be speed runs. There's going to be challenges with that. So there's going to be a lot of fun things to do.
Absolutely. And there's also a lot of room for experimentation in your play style, depending on what you pick up and keep. And, mm-hmm. you know, once you've unlocked later mechanics in the game, and they do emphasize like, hey, stealth is usually a good option if you're not very well powered. And they're absolutely right. But you can go in guns a-blazing if you really want to, or if you're just getting impatient, just start shooting at people to get all of the enemies out into one place. It really does reward whatever choice you make with the new set of challenges, and it keeps it interesting and keeps it fresh, even if you are repeating the same levels over and over again.
What is your style? Because I'm more of like gun blazing, going in, maybe use the machete and attack. Like, are you one of those that like to take your time and attack?
I like to take my time. You know, trying to leverage different abilities that you can get. Mm-hmm. Again, you're experimenting, and you know this is a preview, so that's the whole point of it. Try different styles out, see which one fits for you. And that's the other beauty of it. I don't think there's any right or wrong way to enter in every encounter. So it's going to be very fascinating to see once the final game comes out and see what people do in the community to attack certain situations.
Yeah. Now, anything else, Ree, from but the game? Now, you did mention this to me. You felt like at first it was too much information. Paris, you felt that, that same way while starting the game?
Well,
or no?
Okay, it's interesting. And they've shown this already in, like, I think the state of play. The intro to the game, like, they don't show everything, but the gist of they're throwing information at you as Colt is basically waking up on the beach and, like, well, what the heck's going on?
Right.
And there's a lot of things that you have to, and, like, God, do I have to remember all this right now? This is a lot of stuff. But once you get past that, you realize, no, you don't necessarily need to. And the very important things that you do need to remember, they will give you hints and markers to kind of let you know to guide you.
Yeah, they definitely help you along in the process. Yeah. There's just, as you said, a ton to digest, and it does feel like you have to memorize it. It's huge text screens, and it is a bit overwhelming for sure, especially for players who aren't quite as familiar with the deep level of mechanics in Bethesda games. However, they, as you said, do give you lots of ways to access that information after the fact. You can go back to any of those screens. You are collecting information and solving this puzzle, breaking the loop, and they let you go back through and see all of the notes you've taken, all of the conversations you've overheard that are crucial. So there's no real loss of the information, but it is a bit much to digest right when you first start.
Yeah. Anything else about Deathloop? Or because I want to ask you a couple of things of stuff that have been happening this week.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think the wrap is, because again, this is a preview. This isn't a final review or anything. But mm-hmm. I think as a preview for the things that we already got to see, you know, during the state of play and during that early hands off preview event we're in, to actually get hands on with it and do it ourselves. Kind of like, all right, yeah, this is exactly what, you know, what Arkane was promising. I do think they're going to deliver on it. I'm excited to get the final game because I do want to go through the whole thing and see how it plays out. And then obviously get the human element in with Juliana and things like that.
Yeah, I'm also excited for it. And I'm really curious about the world building. There's obviously a lot that we've already seen in the preview materials and different presentations they've done. And even just through the first couple hours of playing, I'm very intrigued by these characters, what they're doing on this island. How did it come to be? Right. It's just really, really good hooks. So yeah, very excited for it.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
And one thing I guess we kind of said, but we didn't make 100% clear. We were playing this on a PlayStation 5.
Yes.
Using the DualSense.
Yeah, this is only a PlayStation 5 game.
Well, it's on PC as well.
Oh, it is on PC? Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Epic Store it'll be.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good to know. I thought this was just a PS5 game. That's it. Cool. Xbox Game Studios, right? I'm messing with you. No, but honestly, I'm very excited to play more of this, and I can't wait for the final version to come out. When is the official date? That's September?
I'm actually not sure. I know it's September something. I don't know the official release date.
Okay. September 14th?
All right, there you go.
That's coming quick. Very, very soon. Cool. Very cool. Now, Paris, a couple of things happened this week, man. Xbox, the Gamescom showcase. First of all, congratulations. You did an amazing job.
Oh, thank you.
It was really good. I feel like you become a pro with this now, man. You're like, you're good.
I'm not a pro.
Not nervous. And shout out also to Kate. I know Kate was also co-hosting with you. And it looks like you guys had a great time doing it.
No,
man.
We did. Kate is amazing. She's very easy to work at, high energy, made me feel very comfortable. But like the one thing that you said, I'm definitely not nervous anymore at all. I mean, even the very first time I did it, there's the unknown. So there's the nerves of what am I getting myself into?
Yeah.
Can I even read off a teleprompter? How does all this work? Mm-hmm. Whereas coming into it this time, I knew what to do. They didn't have to hold my hand or babysit me or anything. It was like they had the expectation that I knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we did our table reads, wrote the script, and we're like, all right, let's go do it. Shoot it.
Dope.
You know, and we did our thing. So it was fun. It was definitely a fun experience.
Now I'm going to tell you the good and the bad.
Yeah, yeah.
The good. Yo, Forza Horizon 5. OMG. I'm so ready for the game.
Yeah.
Very excited. I'm a huge fan of Horizon. Love the controller.
Mm-hmm.
But today I had a debate, which I'm going to talk about later on. Should I get the Forza Horizon controller or the Halo Infinite controller? I went with the Halo Infinite controller.
Yeah.
But this is the Elite series, yeah. Right? So I went with that. But anyways, that's the good. The bad, I feel like Microsoft should have said something about Halo during the event. At least acknowledge. Hey, watch Opening Night Live tomorrow. Because a lot of people were like, man, there's no Halo. Yo, is it going to get delayed? Like, what's going on? It was very confusing. It was even trending on Twitter, no Halo, for hours on Twitter, right? So that's the bad part. Do you want to say something about anything about that? Or no, you're good? All right. It's okay.
No, I'll say something about it. I mean, yeah. I mean, my thing is, yeah, I hosted the, you know, the Gamescom Xbox stream, mm-hmm. and all that was great. But as a fan, as a just podcaster and whole thing, having that opinion, yeah, I am surprised they didn't at least get in front of this and say, hey, tune in to Opening Night Live. Mm-hmm. We're going to have things about, we're going to hear from 343 or whatever. So mm-hmm. from that perspective, yeah, I was surprised that during my stream, we didn't at least acknowledge it. There was no acknowledgement of Halo or 343 or anything, because it's clearly the biggest game that they have this year. Mm-hmm. So I understand people's feedback about that. To me, it's pretty valid.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. But I'm also very excited about the Fly Sim. They're adding some new content. Yeah. And once again, Paris with the glasses and into the danger zone. All right. that was pretty cool. And I'm trying to think of anything else. They did a pretty good job saying, oh, check out tomorrow. We're going to have more stuff, Age's Empire. You know, something like that would have been cool for Halo. Yeah. Was there anything else from that stream? I'm trying to remember that stood out. I think those are the ones that stood out to me overall. It was pretty good.
Well, I mean, I guess the one thing, because we haven't talked about it directly, is because Psychonauts 2 was a part of that. Tim and Lizette, you know, Kate got to sit down with them and talk about it. We got the launch trailer for Psychonauts 2. And I don't know why I'm stumbling words, but like I said in my personal thoughts review, having played Psychonauts 2, mm-hmm. I mean, it's game of the year contender.
Yes, 100%. Sure. 100%.
I mean, this is Psychonauts 2 is what we've been complaining about coming out of Microsoft Game Studios for a while. They need a platformer that everyone can get behind, have fun with. And that's Psychonauts 2. I mean, it does touch on, you know, some subjects with mental health and everything, but it does in a very respectful way. Mm-hmm. As a comedy element into it. I think the art style with the levels they're definitely very diverse, unique. The writing and the story and all that was very strong. The voice acting in it was amazing. You know, you talk to at least James and everything. And
yeah. That was pretty cool.
It was top notch. It was top notch. It was mm-hmm. really good. And I will be shocked if it's not a part of the Keeleys in December.
And you know another thing I want to say? I hope that Double Fine could work on a Banjo-Kazooie.
No, Tim already said he doesn't want to do that.
Really? You don't want to do it at all?
Yeah, he said that. I forget what his exact quote was, but he basically said, basically that's a Rare game for Rare to do, not to me. Like, in other words, Double Fine wants to do new and unique things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm a fan of Double Fine. Like, I'm a fan of Tim.
Yeah, trust me. That was the first person I thought of. I go, if anyone was going to do Banjo-Kazooie outside of Rare, Double Fine. It's Tim Schafer.
But, yeah.
You know.
Damn. Okay. I guess he doesn't want to do that anymore. Yeah. Right? But so let's talk about today. Opening Night Live. There's a couple of games that they showed. Let's go with this one. The one that I was very surprised. Saints Row. Brand new and is coming out in February.
Yeah.
Nobody was expecting
that. Surprised
that.
Me. That
Holy definitely. Smokes. That was huge. Yeah. And they had Public Enemy. Woo! Yeah. Legendary hip hop group in the soundtrack. I like that. That was really, really, really cool. I'm excited for that. I'm also excited for, shout out to Belinda Garcia. She actually wrote for the Call of Duty Vanguard game that's coming out this November.
November, is it 5th?
5th.
Yeah.
Yes. Shout out to her. Belinda Garcia. Shout out to her. But I was very surprised when I got to see the trailer. Really, I really enjoyed it. I think it has a lot of potential. A lot of potential. Anything from... Okay, all right. Okay, it's all good.
I like how he's blowing over it. He's just, okay, next subject. You don't want to hear why?
No, but why? Yeah. Why? Why?
I'm not a fan of going back to World War II.
Okay.
I'm over World War II. We've done it way too much over the past 20 years. Unless you're really going to tell a unique story in World War II that obviously isn't tied to historical fact. That's like I even said this on the IGN stream today. Resistance, Fall of Man, Wolfenstein, that kind of stuff comes to mind. Do something out of the box. Lean more into the zombies aspect in the campaign. Something like that to where it stands out and feels fresh and new versus, all right, we're going back to World War II.
That's all good.
Yeah. That's me. And again, I hope I'm wrong. Like you said, Belinda doing her thing. Obviously, you know, we're going to support that and celebrate that and cheer that. This is nothing against that, the people that are writing the story. It's just me as a gamer saying, we've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
You put out Call of Duty every year, and we've already been in this section of history way too much, in my opinion. So I hope they do something unique and fresh with it.
What about the new Marvel game? At first, I was kind of like, I need to know more about it. But once I heard it was going to be a tactical RPG,
it's for Axis, so... Think XCOM when it comes to that. Even think, you know, from an Xbox standpoint, more recently, like Gears Tactics. So think that way with what they're doing with this. They've created the Hunter. I forget it, but they create a brand new character in conjunction with Marvel that's going to be in here with the other Marvel characters. And you know, it's what the Darkhold. They're trying to stop them from getting the Darkhold or something like that. So it's not the Dark Avengers, but it's more of your Ghost Rider, it's Wolverine, it's these dark Doctor Strange, obviously these, you know, more darker characters that are going to be in this. So I'm interested.
Yeah.
Interested to see what's going to be.
They did talk about a new character.
Yeah, the Hunter, Huntress. Yeah. I forget what it's called. Yeah, yeah.
It looks good. Now, I personally was very excited when they showed Halo Infinite. I was like, oh man, okay. But I thought they were going to show a campaign and they didn't, because once again, they showed multiplayer. So in that part, I was like, damn, man. I wish they'd show something. We've been waiting since last year.
I'm not concerned, but I'm surprised in that here we are almost in September.
Mm-hmm.
It's been over a year since we've seen Craig. I get they had the kind of the flyover of campaign stuff during E3, but I still say they need to show actual someone with a controller in their hand gameplay from that campaign before December 8th. Just, if anything, to put the rest that here's what that extra year of time got us compared to what you saw originally with Craig. Craig needs a redemption, to put it simply. So I get it. Didn't happen today, but I do think here in the next, I would say in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I would want to at least by mid-October show something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it on the website, like a weekly, one of those weekly posts.
And maybe they do a thing where, because remember a couple of weeks ago when they introduced the multiplayer, the technical preview, Brian Gerard, you know, got to sit down with, you know, Tom French and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do something similar to that from the campaign aspect where you sit down with a lot of people, you know, story people, obviously some of the people that work on graphically, all that. I'm sure Joe Staten would be heavily involved in that, but where you sit down and kind of talk about, not spoilers, but talk about, this is where we're going with the story for Halo, and then show us some gameplay loop encounters so we actually get to see Chief in action against you know, the brutes that are in this one, the Banished, right? Things like that. Again, just redeem what you showed off over a year ago. So you'll put some minds at ease.
Compare the first footage to the new one and show that, like, how much work they've done. I think that would be awesome too. Yeah. So December 8th, that's a very odd date. And Paris, you were right. Ree was right. You probably didn't remember the conversation we were having.
No, I absolutely remember it. I'm just looking at Ree because she's shaking her head like, we tried to tell you.
So the conversation was, I said, no matter what, they're going to release that game on the 20th anniversary, November 15th. You said no, because of Call of Duty, they're not going to release it the same month. And I personally think it was more than that. I think it's more of like, they want to also work
just
on the
say
game.
You were wrong and stop trying to clarify.
Yes, you're right. Because
I know you're like, you're right, but
yes.
Who are you? Thanos and what if?
What if?
It was efficient. It would have worked.
but now they are going to release a controller, Elite controller, and also the 20th anniversary console, Xbox Series X, which I really want, but sold out.
It already sold out. But I did get a tweet as we're doing this, and I guess Walmart, which good luck, is going to be selling them tomorrow morning.
You going to try?
No.
You're not even
because gonna try. Walmart's going to screw you over. Just
well, you know, a lot of people. If it was, what about Target, Best Buy, like all the?
I don't know, and I'm just joking around. But yeah, I guess Walmart's going to be selling it tomorrow, and hopefully other retail outlets will as well.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good. Hey, you have an opportunity right there, man. We'll see. Anything else? I'm trying to remember if there was anything that was announced and showed there. Do you remember from opening night live? I think that's about it. I mean, they showed a couple of like indie games, like
Jet. Well, I mean, they showed more of the story from Far Cry 6.
Oh yeah, Far Cry 6.
Which Giancarlo, he's gonna kill it, and I think they got an opportunity here to tell a really great story inside the Far Cry universe. So I hope they're able to do that. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we're doing this real time.
Yeah, yeah.
I got my notes here. You got notes. Other games they showed.
Okay.
Oh, the Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker saga. I've seen that
game before at
E3. Yeah, we've seen it before. It looks really good.
It looked good at that time. I'm surprised that game hasn't been released. Dude.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh my God, Ninja Turtles, yes.
April in it.
I like that.
That looked awesome.
Really, really cool. And shout out to Tony Polanco. I told him, hey, we're going to play this online once it comes out because we're huge beat 'em up fans. Huge.
Now, actually, because I'm looking at my notes and it reminded me of something. Do you remember when Xbox had the montage for Game Pass PC.
Yes.
I got a problem with that.
You got a problem with that? Why? Yeah.
I got a problem with Game Pass PC. That Xbox app is not good.
Okay.
I want to hear about them fixing that. I will give you two great examples. The Ascent was not feature complete compared to the Steam version. On PC.
Okay.
Not good. Like it didn't have DLSS. It wasn't doing ray tracing, things like that. Mm-hmm. They've now patched it and got it on par. I get it. Weeks later, though, I still can't play Hades on the PC. It crashes every time.
Really?
Yeah.
My brother played Hades.
No, and maybe it's a me problem, but I can then play it on Steam. No problem.
Oh, I think he bought it from... I'm trying to remember... I don't know where you got it from.
But you see the point that I'm trying to make here. Yeah. The point I'm trying to make is like Control was another one I've had issues with on that app. I'm just not a fan of it. I would just like to see them openly talk about, we know it. Here's the stuff we're working on to try and get up to par, because I personally have a hard time recommending anyone getting PC games through the Xbox app, through the Windows Store. I'm like, dude, go get it on Steam.
Yeah.
Right now. Mm-hmm. I would still say that right now. Now, again, Game Pass makes it a little different because you're obviously subscribing. That's when we can get it. But if you're outright buying a game, I would not buy it on that Xbox app.
So I thought Windows, like a new Windows was announced.
Windows 11. But let's keep that real. How many people are immediately upgrading to Windows 11?
That's going to be kind of a lot. I'm not going to do that until I feel like everything is working on all
And that goes back to my point. So Windows 10 is going to be the dominant operating system for a few more years, which means that's the Xbox app most people are going to engage with. They got to fix it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't play a lot of PC games.
I know
games.
You don't, but I'm saying someone like myself. Yeah. My default is always I'm going to play it on the PC before I jump on console.
Yeah.
Like in a better example, Psychonauts 2, flawless on there. That was great. Everything worked fine. Speaking on that, I loved how I was able to hop back and forth between my Series X and the PC. No issues. That's the ideal world that they got to get parity across all their PC games. When they get to that point, then I'd be more able to want to recommend it. Mm-hmm. I what's going to probably happen is their first party games that's probably going to happen, but it's those third party ones that seem, because you notice everyone I said is a third party game that seems to have an issue right now. They got
to
fix that.
So it's better to just buy it on Epic Game Store, Steam, or like stuff like that, right?
I personally would love if they could partner with Valve and just let Steam handle it. that would be a dream scenario.
Okay.
If they could figure that out somehow.
Well, another thing I forgot to mention. I'm excited S-Cloud coming to consoles.
Yes, yes. Very, very matter of fact, because I remember I even told you, I go, there's something that I got to present during the stream that I was very proud of that I did and was really good. That's what it was when we talked about cloud gaming coming to the console. And it's like I try to tell people all the time, because some people want to be very short-sighted with that cloud gaming. It's not about today. It's about the future. It's about as infrastructure gets better, as they crack the code and lower latency, internet speeds get faster, cloud gaming is going to become more and more mainstream. And the beauty of bringing it to the console is, first, right off the bat, Xbox One people can now play next-gen games, right? That's great. You also have the option now of basically trying a game out before you download, like if it's Call of Duty, before you download 200 gigs worth of a game, you get to at least try it out before you make that commitment, things like that. So it's cool that that option is there. And it's already available on Windows 10, as an example. So that's where it's all going, man. I'm telling you, all this is going to culminate is you're going to turn on, what kind of TV you got? I can't even tell.
Sharp.
You're going to turn on your Sharp TV, and you're going to hit that Xbox button on the remote, and boop, 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 you're going to be in there playing Sea of Thieves, Captain Jack's Revenge, or whatever it's going to be called.
No, but you know what? You know why that video stood out to me? First, I was thinking of those that can't afford the new console. We're going to wrap it up in a few minutes here. But first, for those that only had the Xbox One console and they can't get the new ones, they could play all these games that we're playing. That's number one. Number two, you don't need to go to the web browser anymore. You just click on the button. Just go where you know where it says install, like a button like that on screen, and it will take you to cloud.
Yes.
To cloud gaming.
Question. Because I'm just thinking about this off the top of my head. And these, ironically enough, these are both Bethesda games.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking next year, Redfall and Starfield, are they their Series X and S only, right?
Yes.
So there you go, right there. Because let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. Next summer, when Redfall comes out, you ain't going to be able to just walk into Best Buy and get a Series X or an S. It's still going to be difficult. So if I have my Xbox One, I can at least play Redfall. You can start playing it at least before you find one an upgrade. That's the whole point.
Here's the reason why there is coming out this holiday season. Forza Horizon 5 and Halo Infinite are going to be the last two games that's for the past console, Xbox One.
Yeah.
After that, is all next gen.
Is that confirmed? Like, have they fit? Because I'm trying to think back now. Mm-hmm. You're right, because every new game that they announce that's coming 2022 and beyond is Series
X only.
Only.
And PC.
Because, again, let's keep this real. The next Forza is next year.
Oh, yeah.
And they already said that's no Xbox One.
So it makes sense, the timing. Okay, all right, guys, we'll release this during the holiday. And then every game that's coming out next year, this first party, that's Series X and S only. That's it. So, yeah, you're not going to be left behind. You can still play it, but it's only going to be through cloud gaming. So even if you don't have an Xbox One, you can still play on your phone, hopefully on the TV or whatever device that come up in the future. But, yeah, dude, I think that's genius. Genius move, man.
I agree.
So, all right, so we're going to wrap it up. Ree, I know you've been quiet. I just want to say thank you for recording with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate talking about Deathloop.
Anything you want to promote? Well, mention your Twitter, G4. Anything about G4 or what?
I can't announce anything about G4, but you can follow me at Rihanna Tweets Now. That's RIANA Tweets Now.
Paris, anything from you? We're recording on next week, right? Sunday recording?
I don't know. You just put me on the spot, so I guess we are.
Okay, we are. There you go. All right. No, but anything else you want to say?
No.
I'm proud of you, though, man. I'm very proud of you. Just want to say that. You've been killing it, man. Serious.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, right. Get out of here. You know you're doing. You know what you're doing. Everybody, shout out to Paris. Give him a shout out. Tweet him, Discord, whatever.
Don't tweet me.
Yes, do it. All right, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.